Father, we acknowledge you, you're God. In this crazy world with crazy people, in this world where nothing seems sure, planes can go down and not be found, dictators can rise and seem to have power, as people come together yet find disunity because of differing beliefs, we do have confidence and assurance in your word. We have confidence and assurance in the gospel, Jesus, our Savior. Lord, we are, as we celebrate communion together, we take the bread representing his body, we recognize that he died for us. And we take the cup representing his blood, and we realize that we're saved eternally through his blood that was shed for us. Lord, we are totally and wholly and completely who we are because of Christ in our lives. We are totally and completely and wholly unified. Our hearts connect because of Christ in our lives, as your Spirit touches us and moves us and helps us to grow in maturity in Christ's likeness. So bless us this morning. Bless the word that's spoken, and bless the poem you gave me. Lord, it's all yours. Use it to your glory. And again, I pray that each and every person here feels deep down in their heart and their mind and their soul just how special they are in Christ and the unity that we have together. This is special, and I praise you for it. So bless us now. I pray that you are brought honor and glory through us, but speak to us now through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So the very first thing I want to do is I'm going to show you a short video to get our juices flowing. This is called Son of Man. The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven, maker of earth. I can't help but sing this because of the third day song. And Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. I believe this. I believe it. The gospel is what makes me what I am. I did not make this. No, it is making me. It's the very truth of God, not the invention of any man. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it makes us. We're not making it. It's making us. I am who I am today because it's making me new. New. And it's making you new. We're not making this stuff up. This is the truth of God, not the invention of any man. And it's making us who we are. Man, praise God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 say this, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." You know, we always talk about Christ dying for us, so much so that I sometimes think we lose sight of the fact that there's something else very important. He was resurrected. On the third day, he rose again. He lives. He lives for us. You know what? Jesus died for you. But you know what else? Jesus lives for you. He lives for you. And that's why we can take tests with confidence, whether you're in, you know, being a doctor, whether you're being a nurse, whether you are going to the doctor because of your oncology, your tests show abnormalities. We can go in confidence and assurance because Jesus is alive. I mean, we as Christians, we're not joining something that happened 2,000 plus years ago. We're joining something that's happening now. Christ is alive, forever alive, our Savior in heaven. But let me tell you something. He died. He died dead. On that Passover week so long ago, he died dead. He died on the cross on that good yet fateful Friday. He died. Let me tell you something. The Roman soldiers would never have taken his body off the cross if they were not sure he was dead. Joseph and Nicodemus would never have placed his body in the tomb if they were not sure he was dead. They would not have prepared his body with the appropriate spices if they were not sure that he was dead. And then we have a debatable passage like 1 Peter 3, verses 18 and 19, which says this, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And after being made alive, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits." What does that mean? Where was he on that Saturday? And we get so caught up in this and we debate. But you know, at the very least, you know what it means? It means that his spirit was separated from his physical body and he was dead. He was dead. He was dead. But that's not the end. It's a new beginning. Because he's alive. He was resurrected on that Sunday. He resurrected from the grave. The grave could not hold him. He lives again. And the God who gives life has the power to restore life. The power that took the dust from the ground and formed it and breathed into his nostrils. The God that has the power to animate also has the power to reanimate. God. Jesus our Lord is alive. He's the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. It's Colossians 1:18. He's alive forever. Death and sin are defeated. Wickedness is in the throes of rigor mortis. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Jesus lives for us. Death is defeated, which means he is alive for the rest of eternity, for us, forever. forever. We are his and he is ours forever. 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 And it's vastly and vitally important that we understand that Jesus is alive, because with that understanding, we find both confidence and security to handle everything and anything that's thrown at us in this life. Everything. Jesus is forever alive, and thus he is our King and our Savior and our Lord forever. Forever. So I'm going to give you three aspects of Jesus' eternal aliveness. Three aspects. And if you have your Bibles, you can open to Hebrews chapter 7. Three aspects of Jesus' eternal aliveness. 1 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. If you get to James, you've gone too far. But the text will be up here also. Number one, Jesus is our high priest forever. Three aspects of Jesus' eternal aliveness. Number one, he is our high priest forever. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25 say this. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. All right? Now listen to this. Listen to this. Again, I'm not making this. It's making me. It's the very truth of God, right? Listen to what it says here. Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always and forever lives to intercede for them. Make sense? Jesus is nothing like those priests in the Old Testament who held office for a time and died, and then he had to train up somebody else. He lives forever. He lives forever. His priesthood is permanent. It's a permanent priesthood. And do you know what that means? It means that he's able to save us completely, eternally, forever, because he will always live to intercede for us. Always. Always and forever. Always and forever. There will never be a time when Christ isn't interceding for us. He's alive. Jesus, number one, Jesus is our eternal high priest. Number two, just as Jesus always lives, so his sacrifice for us on the cross is always and forever efficacious. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross is forever and always efficacious or effective. Hebrews 7, verse 27 says this. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Once for all. We're saved through the sacrifice of Jesus, because not only is he interceding for us forever, but by his sacrifice, which was perfect, which is perfect, which will always be perfect, we are made perfect. Jesus had no sin in him. He didn't have to atone for his own sin before he turned to us. The sinless one sacrificed himself for the sinful, for you and me. And it only had to happen once. And number three, our salvation is forever secure in Jesus because it is done. It's done. What are the last words of Christ on the cross? Tetelestai, it is finished. It's done. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 14 say this. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. By one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And those priests in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice animals again and again, day after day, year after year. Man, it must have been just a tiresome, burdensome, bloody job again and again. But Jesus, the God-man, once. The perfect only had to die for the imperfect once. And then what happened? It was done, and he sat down. And you know what? This is for forever. 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 By one sacrifice, he has made us perfect forever. Forever. Those who are being made holy. There's our word again, forever. Because by one sacrifice, Jesus has made perfect forever you through your faith, through your saving faith in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. You are made perfect forever through your faith in him, the only name under heaven by which you can be saved. Forever. Forever. We are his and he is ours forever. Now, the last part of the Apostles' Creed again. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church. Catholic here meaning universal. The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Now, really, how is it that we Christians believe in life everlasting? How is it? I'll tell you, it's simple. Because Jesus is alive forever. That's why. Jesus is alive forever. I mean, he is eternally our advocate, eternally our intercessor and our high priest and our Savior and our Lord and our King. And when you placed your faith in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you believed on his person and in his sacrifice for you on the cross, when you submitted and said, "Save me," what did you receive? I mean, what do we always preach? What do we always tell people? What do we receive? Eternal life. Salvation. Eternal life. That's what we promise people, because that's what we're promised. Eternal life. Eternal. Eternal. That's life with our Savior forever as he lives forever. I mean, God is eternal. What that means is God has no beginning and no end. We have a beginning, but now we will have no end. We too are forever. Forever. And after this existence, as we know it, comes another that will be forever. It's eternal life with God through our faith in Jesus Christ, or it's eternal separation from God, which is called the second death. And I know it's nearly impossible for us to fathom eternity. It's just, I mean, once you get above billions and trillions, your brain just starts to shut down. We just can't comprehend those big numbers. In fact, eternity is a number that's even bigger than the United States national debt. Huge. In fact, eternity is a number without end, and thus it ceases even to be a number. It just is. It just is. Eternity, it just is. And really, that reminds me of Moses asking God his name, and God says, "I just am. I just am. Infinite. Infinite in glory and majesty and power and authority. Our finiteness cannot even begin to comprehend the infinite." But you know what? Eternity. Eternity. Forever. That's the promise of Christ Jesus. So with that in mind, I want us to turn to our main passage. That was a long introduction, right? Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter of Jude. Jude 24 and 25. Jude is the last book in your Bible just before Revelation. Jude 24 and 25. Let me read it to you. "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." Now and forevermore. Amen. Now, this is a doxology. A doxology is a short hymn of praise to God and his glory. And really, instead of preaching through these verses, what I instead want to do is just show you the truth of what I've already said about Jesus from the book of Hebrews. What I want to show you is that these verses reinforce that same truth. This is totally simple. So the first part of verse 24, "To him who is able to keep you from falling." To him who is able to keep you from falling. Okay, well, how? How is this? How can this be? How can God, Jesus Christ, how can Christ Jesus keep us from falling? because he's our high priest forever. It's that simple. Let me read again, Hebrews 7, 23 through 25. It says, "Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he's able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Always, always. How can Jesus keep us from falling? That's how. That's how. He's forever, forever a priest who saves completely because he always intercedes for us. Always. That's how. That is how. Secondly, the second part of verse 24. "To him who is able to present you before his glorious presence without fault and great joy." All right, now how is this? I mean, how can Jesus present us before God in his glorious presence without fault and with great joy? Because, simply, his one-time sacrifice is eternally perfect and eternally effective. Again, Hebrews 10, 11 and 14. "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins," all time, one sacrifice, "he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." By his one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who turn to Christ Jesus by faith. Always and forever. That's how. That's how. That's how. Verse 25, "To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore." Now and forevermore. May the God that saves us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may the God that saves us forever through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lives forever, may he be praised both now and forevermore. And let me tell you something. Just as we praised him this morning, and as we praise him throughout every second of our lives, we will be doing that for the rest of forever. Forevermore. Forevermore. We are his and he is ours forever, forevermore. Now that's basically my message this morning. As far as I'm concerned, it's completely simple. But I want to apply it. I want to apply it to you in an unusual yet hopefully entertaining way, a way that I hope connects with you. I'm going to seek to apply this message through a poem that the Lord gave me. And I want you to know this. I've said this before. As a pastor, and as a pastor of this church, when the Lord gives to me, it's not for me. It is, but it isn't. This is for you. And the Lord gave this to me for you. This is for you. This is an Easter, a resurrection gift for you, this poem. Maybe you remember Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven. The Raven, about a man and his lost love, Lenore. It's a dark dirge about a man and his dead beloved and a raven that flies in the room and confirms the truth that he will see his dead beloved nevermore. Nevermore, nevermore. Well, I rewrote that whole poem through the inspiration of the Spirit, I believe, and I made it a Christian poem that speaks about our common experience as a Christian. So before I read this poem, and it's a little bit long, I went line for line, stanza through the raven, so it takes about 8 minutes to read. Before I read this poem to you, I want to set the scene. All right, so here's the scene. Suppose you're praying and you fall asleep mid-prayer. And while you're sleeping, Jesus comes to you in a dream, but he only says to you one word over and over and over again. I mean, Jesus is not there. I mean, we live by faith, not by sight. So Jesus is not there to explain the mysteries of the universe to you. There's eternity for that. But he's just there to reinforce your faith, to give you, security. He's there to give you the confidence to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. He just repeats one word over and over again. What would that word be? What would that one word be that gives us that confidence, that helps us to take our tests and go to the doctor and do what we do as we live in this crazy world? What's that one word? What if that one word is the same word we've been talking about this morning? So I want you to keep in mind everything that I've said to you thus far. This is a poem, meaning it's kind of flowery. Maybe you're not used to this, but just open your heart and open your mind. I'm not trying to fill you with anything cultish. I'm just trying to apply this in our life in a way that might speak to you. Here we go. Once upon a midday dreary, while I prayed so weak and weary, over sin yet once again I found myself in sorrow more. While I nodded praying, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tingle like a tapping. Was it heartburn or real rapping at my broken heart's door? It was a dream, it was the Lord rapping at my broken heart's door. It was the Lord, not dead, no more. Ah, distinctly I remember, it was just after a cold December, as I prayed or napped upon the floor. I was so eager in my sorrow, and how I wished upon the morrow, if only there was something I could borrow to appease my sin, my sorrow. For the book said it was no friend, and if I continued, I'd meet my end, a fiery pit I would but swallow, and my name would be no more in hell forevermore. And in my heartbreak there came a rustling that thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors of holiness never felt before. In my dream, my heart, my mind, I stood repeating, "Is that you, Lord, entreating entrance at my broken heart's door? Is that you, Lord, entreating entrance at my broken heart's door? If it is, who could want for more?" Presently, my heart grew stronger, hesitating, then no longer. "Lord," I said, "or something else I implore." But the fact is I was praying, or really napping, when so gently you came rapping, so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my broken heart's door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Then I opened wide the door, but darkness there and nothing more. Deep into my darkness peering long, I looked there, wandering, doubting, fearing, dreaming, dreams no mortal dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Forgiven." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back. I said, "Lord?" But merely this and nothing more. Then into my broken heart turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard the tapping, or was it my mind just napping, but this time louder than before? "Surely," said I, "surely this is something, someone at my broken heart's door. Let me see then what it is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be brave a moment, and this mystery explore." Well, must be heartburn, nothing more. Open here I flung the door, burning, bearing my heart and soul, and in their step the Christ my Lord, shining brightly all the more. Loving, graceful movements made he, not an instant stopped or stayed he, floating, fleeting was the Lord, came in and sat upon my floor, sitting just inside my broken heart's door. Relaxed he sat, and nothing more. Then my graceful Lord, beguiling my brokenness into smiling, alive from the grave with stern decorum, all heaven's authority he bore. "Though you're resurrected in power," I said, "I am surely no saint. Ghastly grim is my pondering, prideful darkness is my wandering from God's celestial shore. Tell me what will become of my soul, how can I possibly continue forward?" Quoth the Lord, "Forevermore." Much I marveled at his majesty to hear heavenly discourse so plainly. Though his answer filled with meaning, little relevance he bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no sinful human being ever was so blessed as seeing the Lord upon his floor. I mean, God made flesh on the floor just inside their broken heart's door with a salvific message forevermore. But the Lord, sitting alone on the rocky floor, just inside my broken heart's door, spoke only that one word as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he muttered, "Pierced hands bleeding no more." Till I scarcely more than muttered, "Others have only left me. My sin lies grievously before me. On the morrow you may leave me too, Lord, as my hopes have all flown before." Then the Lord said, "Forevermore." Startled by the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "But how," said I, "what you utter is of true biblical stock and store, but I, born in sin to an evil master, when unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, to my life many burdens bore, till the dirges of hopelessness and melancholy burdens bore. Yet, Lord, you say that eternal life is mine forevermore?" But the Lord, still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I took a rocky seat in front of the Lord on the floor just inside my broken heart's door. Then upon the soil I sinking betook myself to thinking, fancy unto fancy, thinking what the glorious Lord would say more, what my risen Savior, glowing, gleaming, radiant in sinless splendor, sitting there upon my floor, meant in saying, forevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable in expressing to the Lord whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining with my head in thought reclining as the Lord's eyes burned through me, divining the sinfulness at my core. Will he leave? Shall he pass? What does he mean by forevermore? Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed by an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on my rocky floor. Wretch, I cried, my God, please save me, respite, respite, despite depravity and the memories from before. Quaff, oh, quaff this regretful existence, on my knees I fall in repentance. My soul, please forgive, quoth the Lord, forevermore. Wicked, said I, a thing of evil, demon still, or ghost or devil, whether tempest sent or whether tempest toss me here ashore. Desolate island, he's a liar. Tell me truly, I do implore, is this home by horror haunted? Tell me truly, is there more? Can grace save a lost soul like me? Tell me, I do implore. Quoth the Lord, forevermore. Wicked, said I, think of evil, demon still, or ghost or devil. Tell me that I'm lost and gone astray? By the heaven that bends above us and the God that doth adore us, tell the soul with sorrow laden, if within the eternal distance, one like me, whom is less than saintly, in your radiance and glory glow, can you forgive my sorrows so? Quoth the Lord, forevermore. Be thy word our covenant of grace, my gracious and sacrifice, Lord. I shrieked, upstarting, get thee behind me, you foul and wicked fiend, both Satan and my sin. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thy foulness hath spoken. Leave my holiness unbroken. There's no room for you here anymore. Now my Lord sits upon the floor, the fertile floor just inside my mended heart's door. So bitterness and pain, pity and guilt, take thy fingers from out of my heart. You're no longer welcome within my heart's made whole door. I am his and he is mine, quoth the Lord, forevermore. And the Lord, never shifting, still is sitting on the fertile soil which he bore, sitting just inside my mended heart's door. And his eyes, having grace and love, all the seeming to wake me from my delightful dreaming, with the lamplight over me streaming, I find myself awakened on the floor. And my soul, I know, is out of danger, for faith hath saved me when a stranger, my sin behind me, my price is paid, Christ on the cross, the road to redemption laid. And my soul, from out that shadow of the wickedness I once bore, has been lifted. As I live by that one word, I will be with my Savior forevermore. Forevermore. What if that one word is forevermore? Jesus is with you forever. Forever. And you know what? This temporary and temporal existence that we know, forever. Do you know that Jesus is alive? He lives for you. He lives for you. He's alive. And what's his promise to us as after we pass from this, what we know, that we are alive with him? And how are we promised aliveness? Because he's alive. How are we promised eternity? Because he's alive for eternity. This is you and this is I, corrupted by sin and feeling that corruption in our bones, just feeling it. And you know, we have a lifetime behind us of bad choices and regrets. And those regrets, man, they hang so heavy on our soul. And we sit here with sorrow more over sin yet once again. God, how could you love a sinner like me? Forevermore. Forevermore. Our sin and our regret and the enemy of God, Satan, reminding us that we're lost and gone astray at every corner. We can't pass our tests. We don't have anything to look forward to. You know, it's just sickness and taxes and death. You know, there's nothing else. And then Jesus, just kind of politely, gently taps on the door, walks in, sits on the floor, and he just tells you what you need to hear. We are his and he is ours forevermore. That's the word, forever. Have you been saved forever yet? Have you? Because if you have, you have the security and the confidence to handle whatever comes your way, because you know you're not facing it alone. And if you haven't, you can have that confidence today. Forever. Forever. You only have a short time to decide, then you will live forever, either eternally with Christ or separated from Him. And that should scare the pants off you. Forever. So decide today, decide now, because you know that Jesus died for you. But He was resurrected in glory and power, and now He lives for you. That's the message of the resurrection. Jesus lives for you forever. 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 I close the Psalm 133:3, which says, "It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows His blessing, even life forevermore." Even life forevermore. So this Resurrection Day, 2014, it's the same message. It's the same message. I believe in God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ is only begotten our Lord. And it's the same gospel message, but as a preacher and you preach the same message, you kind of tweak it a little bit to emphasize a different point. And this year I'm emphasizing foreverness. Forever. Christ is your Savior forever. I know I've said this a million times, and I'm going to say it again. Because how can we go in confidence to handle the stuff of life? Because Jesus lives and He goes with us. Because Jesus lives and He intercesses for us. How can we go to our knees and pray in sin yet once again to our Heavenly Father for repentance? God, forgive me. I know I'm a knucklehead. I know I asked You to help me with this yesterday, and I've already fallen again. How? Because Jesus is alive. He's our eternal high priest. He's there. He's the mediator. He's the perfect one. And when Christ looks down on us and sees His people, He sees us through Christ Jesus, our mediator. We are His and He is ours forever. And we can have assurance of that. Assurance. So go in that assurance. Go in that confidence. And be all that you can be through Him. If there's any special prayer needs, I'm happy to pray with you. Please come on up.
Please stand.
He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen. And He is Lord. Jesus Christ.